10 seconds to go. We need a Minneapolis miracle. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Off by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
30.
No. 10. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
What a miracle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle. Oh, my God. No way. Oh. What a miracle finish.
Welcome to the State of Purple podcast. My name is AJ Mansour. His name is Jack Day, and we're here to talk about a stinker of a Sunday night game. Jack, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it was a bummer watching that game on Sunday night. It's another game. I think I've had this conversation with you over and over again the last couple of weeks, but just another game with pretty much no excitement for the Minnesota Vikings. It feels like the life has been sucked out of this, not only the Vikings and their players, their staff, but the fan base as well. I think it was pretty clear. I know you weren't at the game. I wasn't at the game either, but just watching on the TV, it sounded like there was more Cowboys fans in there than there were Vikings fans. And I think that just stems from kind of the lackadaisical play calling that's been happening over the last couple of weeks.
Well, it didn't start that way, right? I mean, the Vikings get a win going into the bye. However you got it, you got it. They go into the bye week. They're 500. They're still in the playoff hunt. Maybe not the division hunt anymore, but still talking about the future for this particular season. And then you go into Sunday night. You learn that Dak Prescott's not playing. Everybody's a little more excited. You have the cool nighttime game at US Bank Stadium where you can really turn the lights off and have the cool opening festivities. And the Vikings go out and score a touchdown on their first drive, as they have done so many times this season with that scripted drive at the beginning of the game. And then the balloon got deflated really, really fast. We've seen that so many times with this team, a good first drive, and then they just can't adjust or adapt or keep that momentum or keep the foot on the gas or whatever you want to call it. But, Jack, it was very quickly, you know, the Vikings were still decently in control of this game, but it just felt, because it feels this way always for Minnesota fans, that what happened at the end of the game with the Cowboys taking the lead and ultimately winning was just ultimately going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that stems from us watching the last 2 weeks. Granted, they were both wins, and Kirk Cousins led game-winning drives. But if it wasn't for game-winning drives with under 2 minutes to go in both of those it was a game-winning drive and then the field goal kick that was made against Detroit, both of those games, the defense fell apart at the end of those games. In Carolina and at home against Detroit, the defense kind of kept this game alive for the Vikings, but the offense just couldn't get any rhythm going after that first series. And it's frustrating. That seems to be a theme, and you brought that up, but it starts so well for the Vikings. Everything's clicking, and it's like Justin Jefferson beats Trayvon Diggs and gets a good pass interference play or call. After that, Justin Jefferson disappeared. CJ Ham had 3 catches. Justin Jefferson had 2. If you're listening to that as a Vikings fan, as a football fan at all, a fullback had more catches than arguably a top 5 wide receiver in the NFL. That blew my mind. And I don't think Vikings fans moving forward with this regime, and we'll probably get into that a little bit later, but with this regime, with Mike Zimmer leading this team, I don't think it's safe to go into a game and expect it's going to be a win anymore. I don't think, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Cooper Rush is not the first. I remember there's a couple games that stick out to my mind. I have it written down here. Matt Moore with the Kansas City Chiefs in 2019, Chase Daniels with the Chicago Bears, and then Josh Allen, before Josh Allen turned into this gunslinging MVP candidate, all he could really do was run. He was an inaccurate type quarterback. Everyone's like, there's no way the Vikings should lose to the Bills. They lost that game too. They're losing to these quarterbacks that aren't like the cream of the crop. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's a huge downgrade. I think when Daniels played, it was stemmed off from Trubisky. Obviously, neither of them were great quarterbacks, and they both beat the Vikings. So it's frustrating seeing that. And then obviously Sunday night, Cooper Rush. Yeah, if you probably know who he is now, but leading up to the game on Sunday, you probably didn't even know who that was. Threw for like 350 yards and 2 touchdowns against this defense. And like I said, the defense kept them in this game with some turnovers. Xavier Woods came to play against his former team, but all in all, just a frustrating performance. And I think sitting here Tuesday, a couple days after the game, I'm kind of surprised. I know I said I wouldn't make that call to necessarily fire Zimmer midseason. I thought that was going to happen by now, and maybe you and I were kind of right that that's going to be something where they're going to let this season ride out and readdress it afterwards. But after that game, I thought that Mike Zimmer was done.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a second here with more in-depth analysis of that particular situation, because it's ever-changing, right? I mean, each day we learn a little something new about what might be going on behind the scenes with that situation. But the game play in particular, Kirk Cousins didn't come to play. Adam Thielen was probably one of the only Vikings that actually had a decent game. Justin Jefferson was non-existent. Dalvin Cook really never got going. Ole Udo continues to just shoot this team in the foot with penalties. The defense just opens up the floodgates and lets the parts like the Red Sea towards the end of the game, that Zeke Elliott third down right towards the end of the game when you could have stopped them and forced a field goal in a situation for Dallas to tie the game rather than go ahead to take the lead. He broke four tackles on that play before he ultimately got, 13 yards or something to get the first down and continue that drive, giving them an opportunity for that touchdown. All the things that this team can't afford to not do, they aren't doing, right? They're not a good enough team to overcome these self-inflicted wounds. They're not a good enough team to overcome being +2 in the turnover battle and still losing. You're not a good enough team to survive missed tackles in the red zone. And we're seeing that. It just isn't a good team. But, Jack, the question I want to ask, and I've heard a bunch of people talk about it, is this a good team? Like there seems to be a lot of talent on this team. There seems to be big name wide receivers, big name running backs, big name quarterback. You have some big name defenders, but something isn't gelling with this team specifically this year. And now it's on both sides of the football. Is this a good football team playing poorly, or is this not a good football team?
I think on paper, they're a good football team. I think they have talent, but we're starting to see that kind of, the top-heavy roster is starting to get exposed. I think through the first couple weeks of the season, they were relatively healthy. We'll get into this a little bit more, but now Danielle Hunter is done for the season. We saw Patrick Peterson go out, and if you would have told me going into this game, with me knowing that Cooper Rush was starting at quarterback, the Dallas Cowboys totaled 78 rushing yards, and the Vikings won the turnover battle, I would have put a lot of money that the Vikings would have won that game, and it didn't happen. It's weird things are happening to this team. I don't know if you're a fan of Good Morning Football or not, but Peter Schrager continues to bring this team up week over week over week, asking Vikings fans, how do you guys do this? I don't know anymore. I think, like I said, the life has been sucked out of this fan base with how much of a roller coaster the season has been just 8 weeks into the season. We're not even at the halfway point yet. And it feels like the Vikings fan base has been put through the gauntlet already. The schedule is not getting easier over the next couple of weeks either. So I don't know. It's super weird. Like I said, 78 rushing yards is what Dallas totaled. It just blows my mind saying that out loud and thinking that they lost this game. Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb both had a day with Cooper Rush throwing the ball. And I think that's going to continue to be a problem with Patrick Peterson no longer playing, at least for the next two games. And that could obviously go a little bit longer as well. But Cameron Dantzler, Bashaud Breeland, neither of them stepped up. I think Cameron Dantzler was involved in that play where the one you just mentioned about Ezekiel Elliott. I know Anthony Barr was involved in that, and they both missed a tackle. It's just weird watching a Mike Zimmer-led team play football and just miss tackle after tackle. That just doesn't seem like something that used to happen as much in the past. And then there's another weird thing, and I don't know what this stems from. I'm not sure if you saw the video. I think it was a TikTok or something along those lines. But on that play where Bashaud Breeland literally got hit in the chest with the football and then he bobbled it up and Amari Cooper caught it, Harrison Smith comes running downhill, and he could have in the past. That's a hit where Harrison Smith he annihilates Amari Cooper. Like he hits him. And he kind of just got there and kind of put his arms up. I don't know if that's just coming from the direction the NFL went, and Harrison's like, I don't want to find, I don't want to hit this guy because I know what happens. He's defenseless. I hit him. They're going to throw a flag. I'm going to get fined for it. So I don't know what that was about, but that seemed weird to me too. And just it seems like it's a good football team, but they're just not in sync, and they haven't been in sync all season. And at this point, I don't think it's fair to say they're going to find that throughout the back half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming down the stretch here now where the reason why Schrager goes crazy on Good Morning Football is because this team, as always, just gives the fans enough to nibble on, enough little excitement, a window into the future, a window, a possibility. And the one of our favorite things to do as Minnesota sports fans is calculate the percent chance that we're going to make the playoffs, or percent chance that we're going to overcome an 0-2 start. Or, you know, we've heard all these things every single year, and they just give us a little enough hope to go 500 into the bye, to have an opportunity on Sunday Night Football without Dak Prescott. And then they just, it blows up in our face every single time. And I'm hoping for once, this team has just never been good enough to get to the Super Bowl. They've never been bad enough to blow up everything and start over and get like a super high draft pick. But I'm of the mindset, okay, I'm one of the biggest Minnesota Vikings football fans. I'm jaded for sure because I work in the industry and I'm sick of it, and I've lived my entire life this way. But I'm ready for them to not blow this thing up and get rid of all their good players, but blow this thing up and make some change. If they lose the rest of the way, I'm happy. I get a better pick. We're not going to go to the playoffs. If we do, it's going to be a one-win team. You know, our one game playoff, and they're not going to win even. They're going to get to that wild card round and get knocked out right away. There's no deep playoff run that this particular team, the way that they're coached, the way that they're playing, can make right now. So lose the rest of the way for all I care. Get a better draft pick. Find a way to get some difference-making players. I also understand that you can get those players in the second round, in the back of the first round, in the sixth round, all the way through there. We need to make some changes. I don't know if that's front office changes, how high that goes up, if it's all the way to Rick Spielman, if it's Coach Zimmer, if it's players, if it's Kirk Cousins under center, whatever it is, we need to make some changes. And it has to be changes in attitude. It has to be changes in philosophy. And it has to be changes in the way that they take that philosophy and put it into game plan. Because right now, that philosophy is not working. The players that they put on the field aren't gelling the way that they're supposed to gel. And you continue to make mistakes. We haven't even talked about the clock management issues at the end of the first half with Kirk Cousins and the drama there, but calling a timeout, not calling a timeout. And then Mike Zimmer calling a double timeout and getting penalized in the second half. These issues continue to pop up, Jack. And I know you were talking to me before we went on air about some Kirk Cousins comments, basically saying, I'm not the one who calls the timeouts. Like, he's basically, now we're in the finger pointing. No, it's the coach's fault. No, it's the player's fault. It's this, that, and the other thing. That's never a good spot to be in the middle of the season.
No, and I think it speaks volumes for where this team is at. I think the frustrations are finally starting to boil over. A couple weeks ago, you see Kirk Cousins, like, pretty much assaulting Mike Zimmer on the sideline after they won that game. I know that's kind of in the rearview mirror at this point, but it's a weird spot that this team is in. And I think that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, fans are putting money into going to see this team play. And if they're going to, I don't think that's going to necessarily continue this way. I think the fans are getting sick of it. And I think being a Minnesota sports fan, you and I both kind of understand this. It always feels like the fans themselves have this feeling where they want it more than the team. And I don't think it's necessarily fair to say that and point fingers at the team.
What you mean, though?
But it's like when Kirk Cousins goes and addresses the media and says that, and then Mike Zimmer says, I don't know if that's true. And there's no accountability this team has. And it's frustrating to see that. I know we'll get to what Adam Thielen said, but they need to want to win as bad as the fans in those seats. I mean, you and I have both witnessed some pretty special moments in that stadium, the Minneapolis Miracle, like the pure emotions, watching Stephon Diggs, watching Case Keenum, seeing these guys, adult men, superstars in the NFL, in full-blown tears in the locker room after that game. Like, it was a cool feeling. And right now, I'm not saying that wouldn't be the case if this team were able to make a playoff run, but it just doesn't feel like they want to get to that next step. And that's obviously not fully true. I'm sure there's players in that locker room that want to get to the Super Bowl and want to bring it to the state of Minnesota. But when you see these interviews done by like Kirk Cousins saying that, it's like, what's going on? You're an 8-9 year veteran in the NFL. You're scheduled to make $45 million next year, more by far more than anyone else on this roster. And you're afraid to call a timeout. Like, that doesn't sit well with me. And that kind of, just seeing those press conferences, it's like, after already watching an embarrassing game, that just confirmed to me that I don't know where the change needs to happen, whether it's Rick Spielman, if that is Mike Zimmer bringing in a new offensive-minded head coach, or if it's Kirk Cousins. I think if we see a transition in the regime, I think that's going to eventually lead to Kirk Cousins being phased out of Minnesota. I don't necessarily know if that's a 2022 thing or not, but it's just frustrating. And going back to my conversation about the fans, them seeing that, I think we're going to start to see more and more paper airplanes at US Bank Stadium and just more lackluster fans that are there because, hey, they were able to find $30 seats because it's not a winning football team. And it's frustrating. And I think I noticed that there was people saying that it seemed like at the pregame, during the pregame for Sunday night, the fans seemed electric. That got sucked out of that stadium extremely fast. And the only really life that I remember hearing were Cowboys fans. So I think that's frustrating. And I don't know. At the end of the day, I think a change, I think you and I both agree that a change needs to happen. I just don't know when that change needs to happen or where that change is going to happen.
Here is the Adam Thielen comment that you mentioned. Adam Thielen, after that loss, obviously, he had a comment, and part of it was, if you're not frustrated, there's something wrong with you, and you shouldn't be on this team. You shouldn't be a coach. Now, that's the entirety of that little snippet, right? The one that's kind of going viral. You could read this two different ways, right? You can read this in the sense that he's using generalities, and he is including you shouldn't be on this team for the players, and you shouldn't be a coach for the coaches. You could also look at this, and this is where it kind of caught fire, is two separate pieces of that sentence, and one of them being a direct maybe call out towards a specific situation that may or may not have happened behind the scenes that we don't know about. When you say you shouldn't be a part of this team, in my mind, that includes coaches, right? That's teams, coaches, players, front office, that's the team, right? And then at the end, he tags on, you shouldn't be the coach. It almost makes me wonder if he is specifically calling out a specific person, because there seems to be, this doesn't just come out of nowhere, right? I mean, you could, I guess, say he's just kind of saying, if this doesn't bother you, then why are you in the NFL? Like that kind of a statement. But it feels like there's too many specific little bits in here that are kind of questioning something that happened maybe behind the scenes, whether it's body language, something that was said, whatever that is. There's an attitude shift, right? We mentioned the pointing of fingers between Kirk. When we see these things in the locker room start happening, we saw it with Percy Harvin. We saw it with Jerome Simpson back in the day. It's never good. It's never good. It's usually the downfall of the season when you have infighting within the team and the coaching and the players and whoever it is. Do you think this is a pointed statement, Jack, or do you think this is kind of a general statement saying we all need to have more passion?
Well, I think there's truth to all rumors, AJ. So I hate to bring that situation into this, but that's another thing that's kind of revolving or circulating around Vikings Twitter right now is, was Stephon Diggs somewhat right in his exit from Minnesota? I think, albeit he's not having the greatest season out in Buffalo, but last season he was one of the best receivers in the National Football League last season. And if you were a fantasy owner, he was a guy that you got. I think people kind of weren't expecting Josh Allen to take that next step. And I think I drafted him. I kept him in the fourth round this year. So I had Stephon Diggs in the sixth round last year, and he was one of the top wide receivers in all of football. Just seeing that ability the year after he leaves the Minnesota Vikings, or was it a year after? Yeah, it would have been a year after. Sorry, I got lost there. But having that happen and then him going off and exploding out in Buffalo, it's like, okay, are the Vikings doing something wrong here offensively? Like with Kirk Cousins, you go out and pay him all this money. You see him, he's more than capable of throwing really good deep balls. Is there something within like the foundation of this front office and this coaching staff that is limiting the players? And I think it speaks volumes that Adam Thielen, out of anyone, is the one saying that. The Minnesota boy himself, I don't think Adam Thielen really doesn't strike me as a guy that would ever want to leave Minnesota. He's raised his family here. He is from here. So him saying that, I think, should be taken rather seriously. And like I said, I don't necessarily know who that's directed at. Could it be directed towards Clint Kubiak and the struggles of that Vikings offense? Could it be a weird like relationship between Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer? Could that be stemming throughout the rest of the team? There's just ever since the season started with all the COVID stuff and just kind of going over that. I will say this, Mike Zimmer, what he has had to endure in his time in Minnesota as a head coach, and that's league-wide. I'm sure coaches across the league, they all have different things they have to deal with year over year. But us being in the Minnesota market and seeing these, like the eye surgeries, the Adrian Peterson situation, losing Teddy Bridgewater to a devastating knee injury, starting 5-0 and finishing that season 8-8, the Minneapolis Miracle, like this season right now is just kind of overshadowing what has been an emotional roller coaster in the Mike Zimmer era. And I think this is the year where it's gotten up to the peak and it's starting to go downhill very quickly.
Well, let's use that as a transition point to our next topic here, because it transitions very nicely. The status of Mike Zimmer's future. I think both of us, we would say we like Mike Zimmer, that we think that he can be a good coach in this league. When you get to what you were just talking about, Jack, with the weirdness among the players, I think that we are kind of to a breaking point with Mike Zimmer and the way that he handles personalities, the way that he handles people. He's a good football coach, but is he a good manager of personalities, a good is he a player's coach? You know, we hear that adage all the time, and we see players or coaches, like Mike Tomlin, who it would appear from afar that those players on that Steelers roster would do anything for him and that he would do anything for them. I've never gotten that feeling with Mike Zimmer, and you don't have to have that to be a head coach in this league. But when adversity strikes, and it strikes again, and it strikes again, and it strikes again, and it gets you to a point where people are calling for your job, that is something that will carry you through that. Being a leader of men, being a, you know, if you could be good behind the scenes and you can be good in front of the scenes, and some people are good at both. I want to say that Mike Zimmer might be really good behind the scenes and not as good in the limelight. And I'm seeing that when you look back at the long line of coaches that have left this organization, some of them for promotions, some of them to retire, just to quit in the middle of the season with North Turner. You've had other issues where you see players that are not happy here. That has to do with some of the decision makings maybe behind the scenes. But I just never get the sense that he is a kind of guy that if the players sat down right now, that they would pull for him to continue being the coach of this team. Do you get that feeling as well?
Yeah, I don't. And I think that another term that we hear across the NFL is losing a locker room. And I don't know if that happened this year yet, if they're quite to that breaking point, but it certainly feels like this locker room is lost. Like, especially the injuries aren't really a factor in that, but with you lose Danielle Hunter and you have Patrick Peterson on IR, weird injuries with like Anthony Barr situation, or it would have been the Danielle Hunter situation last year. Michael Pierce never got put on IR. He's still not back. And it's just weird. I don't even know how to put it, but I will say this. I think Mike Zimmer in my lifetime has been my favorite coach of the Minnesota Vikings. And I'll preface that by saying I don't really remember like 2000 and prior to that, but
that's the last time that they've had a really likable coach.
Yes,
they've had likable people who are coaches, like Leslie Frazier, for example. But likable coaches who have had success that goes along with that likable personality just hasn't happened.
Yeah, and I think this is another topic that's been circulating around the Vikings world: is what happens if he is fired? I think everyone that follows football kind of understands that it seems like the direction the NFL is going to is hiring the next up-and-coming young offensive mind. And I think the name Kellen Moore is getting thrown around quite a bit. I talked about it on my Load the Box podcast in our bye week show. And I think that name is going to start getting hotter now after we just saw what he did with Cooper Rush against the Mike Zimmer defense. I think this Vikings staff got out-coached, frankly, against – and this wasn't even a part of our script headed into the show, but I think it was Xavier Woods that said this. They practiced all week as if Dak Prescott was going to play. There was no game script for Cooper Rush playing, which that should just scream at you right there.
But you shouldn't need a game plan for Cooper Rush, right? I mean, it's not, you know, Dak is mobile like Aaron Rodgers is mobile, right? He can get out of the pocket. He can run for a first down if needed. He can scramble to extend a play, but he's not Kyler Murray or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson kind of mobile. So when you're not switching from a mobile quarterback to an immobile quarterback or a passing quarterback to a running quarterback or whatever, you're going to a similar quarterback that is just not as skilled as Dak Prescott. So the game plan shouldn't need to switch it that much. So if they got out-coached, that doesn't have anything to do with whether it was Dak Prescott or Cooper Rush. It was your scheming was there. You didn't make the adjustments. Because let's say the first half, the defense looked decent, right? Cooper Rush obviously got going as the half went along, but they adapted. That's where you got out coached. And we've seen it all season long, Jack. Halftime adjustments. This team, we went how many weeks without scoring a second half touchdown while the other teams would fight their way back into the games and find ways to adapt and adjust in the second half. The Vikings never did it. So that's where they're getting out coached. They're also getting outplayed, right? That's a whole different part of this conversation. The missed tackles, the weirdness with Harrison Smith, like you mentioned, not hitting the player. Those things are on the players. Kirk Cousins getting happy feet again and just dumping down rather than hitting his open players. CJ Ham, one out of every 20 times is the first read on a play. So when he gets the ball three times, that's Kirk Cousins dumping it down three times. Now, are our guys not open because the defensive backs are that good? Or is Kirk panicking a little bit? Whatever that is, that's on the players there, okay? The scheming is different. The players – and it's a culmination of everything that's going to just heck right now. But I do agree with you that they have all season been getting out-schemed and out-coached.
Yeah, and going one step further, this is something that I wrote down that – It hasn't sat in my brain right, but I've been willing to continue to give this regime more chances because we've seen them find success, especially when we've seen, okay, they have a down year, they bounce back pretty hard the next year and make the playoffs, and they go out and beat New Orleans in 2019. But going back to that 2017 season, it seems like it almost has all fallen apart since that second half of the Saints game. The Vikings should not have won that game. Obviously, it's called a miracle for a reason. That defense started to kind of let the Saints back into it. I think Case Keenum had a couple of really questionable throws as well, but the defense let them into it. And then you go out to Philadelphia, and the Vikings, on paper, I think everyone expected the Vikings. They were the better team. I think maybe that was just looking at it from a more local perspective, but I felt pretty confident going into that game. What do? They go out. First drive of the game, they go out and they score a touchdown, and then the defense gets blown out and they let up 38 unanswered points. This defense hasn't been able to last in the brightest moments. I mean, we're seeing it this year, and that's just kind of going back to your point and kind of bring this full circle. The defense has played fairly well the last couple of weeks up until like the last 5 minutes. They're letting up game-winning drives, and that's something that prior to 2017, throughout that 2017 season, that was a staple of the Mike Zimmer defense. He wanted his defense on the field late in games because he was confident that they were going to be able to get a stop. That has not been the case since that year. Honestly, probably. I know there's been some good games where the defense has kind of responded and they've been a lot better. But when it's the biggest moment, and this goes back to that playoff game in San Francisco, I think the offense wasn't there either, but they just can't put full complementary football games together. And I think that stems the defense not being as strong as what Mike Zimmer thought it was in 2017. And then he continued to kind of have some of those guys play in 2018. Now he has a whole new kind of slate of guys come in here with some of his true veterans, Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr, those guys still on the defense. You bring in all of these guys on one-year deals, and quite frankly, it's not working. I know the numbers are there and everyone is saying, the defense is actually 12th, according to PFF, or someone, I thought I saw a tweet that said it was like ranked 12th in terms of scoring defense. That doesn't matter if you can't make stops at the back half of games. Those are what matter. You have to get those stops. And right now, Mike Zimmer's defense just is not doing that.
Well, right. If the defense is 12th and the offense is 20th, you're not going to be able to, you know, put the points on the board to protect yourself from those last minute drives where the defense folds. And, you know, this isn't the early Mike Zimmer regime where he didn't have his players in place, right? It took a couple years for him to get everything going, get the right people in place to carry over what he brought from Cincinnati here to Minnesota. That's not the case anymore. We're 8 years into this experiment, and it's worse than it's ever been, maybe worse than it was when he took over. And you have this opportunity now where you have a defensive coach where the defense isn't doing anything. Your cornerstone players that are his players, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks is still flying around doing his thing, but you know, the cornerbacks are struggling. Let's even use this as a transition to the next step here with Danielle Hunter and the injury that he has undergone, with the depth that has across the board, right? This isn't just a defensive end situation. We're down to three defensive ends on this team after trading Steven Weatherly a week and a half ago before the Danielle Hunter injury. Danielle Hunter now gone for the season. We know that the depth at quarterback is very slim. We know that the depth at safety behind the two that are out there is very slim. We know that the depth at linebacker is very slim. The depth across the board, specifically for the defense, is incredibly slim. On the offensive line, same sort of situation. This team just doesn't have a lot of depth. Maybe at the running back position, maybe at the wide receiver spot. That's it, right? I mean, there's no other spot where there's depth. So when you look at this, this maybe now shifts the conversation to Rick Spielman, right? Mike Zimmer doesn't control the depth. He doesn't control the players on the roster. Rick Spielman does. That's the other name that people are calling out saying, hey, it's time for a change. You know, we have seen enough draft picks that haven't worked out. We've seen enough trades that have maybe been a little knee jerk. We've seen enough situations where we're making decisions to keep key players, but maybe overpaying them. And where we feel that in the negative is in the depth of this team. Rick Spielman on the hot seat as well, Jack.
Yeah, and I think if this season does go in the direction that you were kind of alluding to towards the beginning of the show, where it starts to go downhill further, which I think you and I, it seems like we're kind of both in that boat where it seems like that is going to be the case. Like, they go to Baltimore, then they go to, I think, Los Angeles to play the Chargers, and they have the Packers at home. I don't think the Vikings are, nor do I think they should be, the favorite to win any of those games. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose the next three games. And then they have, I think it's San Francisco and Detroit. Are those winnable games after you lose those next three? If that is the case, I don't know. But the Danielle Hunter injury, just it kind of puts the cherry on the top for this season, in my opinion. I think that is the breaking point for this team, for this defense in particular. Now it's going to be DJ Wonnum and Everson Griffin probably as the starters. Kenny Willicks was a seventh-round draft pick out of Michigan State last year. I think Patrick Jones, the second, the guy they drafted in the third round out of Pittsburgh this year. I don't know if he's dressed for a game this year. Maybe he has. I could be wrong, but he hasn't played. I know that maybe it's time they start seeing some of these rookies get some meaningful time. I know that's not probably what Vikings fans that want this team to make a playoff run want to hear, but it might be that time, because if a new regime is handed the keys to this team, they need to kind of have something to go off of next year, hopefully seeing some of these guys. I will say Cameron Bynum, there was one play that he had. He was out there on meaningful snaps playing. They had a couple three safety looks that they were running with. He had a nice open field tackle. It was cool seeing a rookie outside of Christian Darrisaw get some playing time. We're starting to get healthy with these rookies. Amir Smith-Marset was out on the field a couple times because D.D. Westbrook was hurt. Kini Nwangu is starting to kind of claim that kick return position. So if the direction of this season does continue to go in a downward spiral, I'm not saying it's time to take Kirk Cousins out and put in Kellen Mond quite yet. But if we get to that point, why wouldn't you want to at least see what this team has? We don't know what Chaz Surratt brings to the table. We haven't really been able to see Nwangu's speed. There's just little things that I was excited for after the draft, and I didn't fully expect us to get to see them early on anyways, because Mike Zimmer and company brought in all of these guys on one-year deals. But if it gets to that breaking point and it's time to kind of – it's the NFL. They're not going to throw the towel in on the season. That just doesn't happen. But if it starts to feel like that point, you get three, four losses in a row, why not throw some of these kids out there, see what they have, and then when the new regime comes in, they can kind of address and go from there.
Well, Jack, can I tell you, we talked a couple times now about the opportunity to make this change, make this coaching change, make a general manager change. The reason why these next three games might be key to that answer, right now, I think both of us would say there's no point in firing Rick Spielman. Nothing's going to change. The depth, personnel is what it is. There's no point in firing Mike Zimmer. There's nobody in the wings that is ready to step up and kind of audition for that head coaching job within the organization right now. So why not wait till the end of the season and then let them go and make your moves and adapt and adjust? Here's why we might see some change depending on what we see the next 3 weeks. If they lose these next three games, if they lose two of these next three games, season done, your prospect for what this season means is changed, right? And you talk about those young players that you want to get out there. Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman aren't going to put those young players out there because they're coaching and general managing for their jobs at this point, right? They need to make the playoffs or bust. So they're not going to say, okay, let's shift from the playoffs, from trying to make the playoffs and playing, you know, our starters, our veterans, whatever, and put these young guys in to see what we have for next year, because next year they're not going to be part of the mix. So if they lose these next couple games, that's where we might see a move. Right. Not necessarily to say, OK, Andre Patterson is the next up and coming coach in the NFL or whoever, Clint Kubiak, which both those names are not existent as far as options. But I'm just saying the people that are in-house, let's see what you got. That's not the case. Right. It's going to be, OK, fill in for the rest of the season. And your directive is to play Kenny Wangu. Your directive is to play all these young guys that we just drafted to see what Kellen Mond may have. That doesn't mean you bench Kirk Cousins, but maybe you pull him in a game that's out of hand quicker than you would normally. Maybe you have some of those depth guys like Surratt and Jones come in and fill in some roles that maybe they wouldn't have if you were playing to win every single game to make the playoffs. That's where we'll see the change. And that's, I think, the only opportunity where we'll see a mid-year shift. So I'm not ruling it out. Like, again, we've talked and I've wavered, you know, this knowledge keeps going and my opinion changes. That's the only way I think we see a change is if we're out, if it's no longer a competitive season, and that could happen in this string of three games here.
Yeah, and we could be talking next week or 2 weeks down the road and the Vikings can somehow win the next two. That right. At this point, I don't think anything that could happen is going to shock either one of us. I just think this season, it is weird. The Mike Zimmer run since 2014 has been weird. It's been a continuous roller coaster of emotions. I don't like saying that a bunch. I know I'm starting to, but it's really the only way that I know how to put how this regime has been over the last decade. And I don't know. I think this loss, to answer the question that's on the screen right now, I do think it's a tipping point because of what you and I are alluding to. It does seem like they're going to go on a stretch here where they're going to lose some more football games. And if they get to a point where their record's 3-6, 3-7, at what point are the Wolves like, it's the time is now. I'm sure you've seen the meme circulating where Ziggy Wolf is up in his little area of the stadium and he's on his phone. And it's like, I think there's the meme is it's little text bubbles to Zimmer and it's like, pack your things. I am not going to be shocked if that does happen midseason. I'm with you. I've waffled back and forth on that as well. But right now, after a loss as devastating as the one was against Dallas on Sunday night against a backup quarterback, it's like, the question from that game, I left that game wondering, what happens if Dak Prescott does play that game? Do the Vikings, would Mike Zimmer have a job still? Do the Vikings go out and lose? Like, do they get blown out? Because I think Cooper Rush made some bad decisions that I think people were expecting him to make in his first career NFL start. But at the end of the day, he still threw for 350 and two touchdowns against what's supposed to be an elite defensive mind that we've seen over and over and over again. The elite defensive mind lose the battle against quarterbacks similar to Cooper Rush. And I think that's frustrating. So I do believe that Sunday night was the tipping point. Does that mean he gets fired tomorrow, this week, this month? No, but I think the Mike Zimmer era is coming close to an end in Minnesota.
I know, Jack, you have one other nugget we'll get to about some scouting situation. But before that, let's do some quick NFL breaking news. We are discussing or having recorded this podcast midday Tuesday. So the NFL trade deadline is upon us. We're coming up on it just a couple hours away. And just breaking, actually, now that Deshaun Watson will not be traded. Is not expected to be traded. Let me say that. Is not expected to be traded before the deadline. The Texans and the Dolphins conversations have fallen apart, and they'll hold on to him in Houston until after the season when they'll open up trade talks again to try and get a more serviceable deal that works for the Houston side of it and maybe isn't holding another team ransom as well. We also heard right before we took the air with this podcast, Jack, that Raiders wide receiver Henry Ruggs was involved in a auto accident that did result in a fatality. He has been charged with a DUI resulting in death for the other person in that accident, another person who he sounds like his car ran into that car, and he has been charged with driving under the influence and resulting in death. So that's a terrible situation, a bad decision, to say the least, and something that will continue to develop another young player's career in the NFL. But Jack, we're talking about Rick Spielman. We're talking about scouting for the future of this team. there is still part of him that has to do the job. It sounds like you saw that he was out doing some of that this weekend with maybe an interesting little twinge to it.
Yeah, Ben Gesslein actually tweeted something out of the Star Tribune saying that Rick Spielman was, I don't know if the game was in Nevada or not, but he was scouting Nevada quarterback Carson Strong, who's a name who's starting to rise up draft boards. I don't think going into the season, it seemed like Spencer Rattler was kind of the clear-cut choice to be the first pick, the Oklahoma quarterback, who has since been benched and lost his job and kind of doesn't seem like a guy you want leading an NFL locker room anyways, because he's the guy who his team had a huge upset victory. They came back in Texas, very entertaining game. This was 2 or 3 weeks ago now. I'm getting all excited about this. This is the only life that I have left of me is talking about the NFL draft. So that should show you what state the Minnesota Vikings are in. But Carson Strong has risen up big boards. Don't need to spend too much time on him. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about this in the offseason when we start going into more depth on this stuff. But he's a 6'4", 215-pound. He's more of a true pocket-passing quarterback, which I know isn't the most entertaining thing because everyone wants this young, mobile guy with a strong arm. Carson Strong does have a rocket launcher for an arm. Would be perfect for like an air raid-style type of offense. So if the regime does make a change, whether that's Mike Zimmer, Rick Spielman, if they decide to go in that direction, I think it would be entertaining to watch this Vikings offense. I don't know if it would find success right away, but it would open things up for the guys like Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne. They go out and get Amir Smith-Marset, another burner, and then they get Irv Smith Jr. back in the offense next year. It'd be entertaining, and it's something to kind of just look into. We don't need to get into this. We'll talk about it more as the season goes on. But if they're out there scouting a quarterback that is likely going to be a first-round pick, it could be a back half of the first-round pick, but he's going to probably be a first-round pick at this point. What does that say this team is looking at down the road for Kirk Cousins? Because I know he has that cap hit number of $45 million in 2022. Could this team be ready to move on? What does it say about the progression with Kellen Mond? Is he not progressing? That's something that I think the Vikings fan base, even some of the reporters, I think they're kind of blindfolded to that situation because he's not even dressing. He's out there on the sidelines in street clothes during the games. I haven't heard much about him in practice. That's something that I would like to know more about, but I think the quarterback position is going to be worth monitoring, especially after a 2021 draft. We're going in the season, I was like, Kirk Cousins is the quarterback of this team. I think that was always the case, but there was some pressure from ownership coming down about Justin Fields, or at the very least getting a quarterback. Kellen Mond, I know he was a beginning of the third round quarterback, still is the highest drafted quarterback for this franchise since Teddy Bridgewater back in 2014. Something worth monitoring as the season goes on and into like the combine season and NFL draft season in 2022.
Yeah, no doubt. The season has taken a different turn. I think it's fair to say. So it'll be interesting in different ways the rest of the way for this year. So if they make the playoffs, so be it. But I spoke my piece earlier. I hope that that's not necessarily the case. And I hope that they do some things to improve this team, however you see that happening. Jack, thank you very much for your analysis today. And always, as on KFAN.com, your work there has been very much appreciated. So if you want to follow Jack on Twitter, you can find him at Jack_H_Day on social media. He covers the Vikings for KFAN.com and does a great job doing that. So make sure to give him a follow and pay attention to what he's putting up on the website as the season continues, because there'll be some interesting analysis, whether it is the scouting and the prospects or the future for this team. It'll be interesting to watch and to read. So thank you for doing that, Jack. And we will talk to everybody else on Thursday when we turn the page and preview Baltimore Ravens, a team that is sure to give Minnesota some problems. For Jack Day, I'm AJ Mansour. This is the State of Purple podcast. We'll see you next week.
Ten seconds to go. We need a Minneapolis miracle. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Off by Diggs.